Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Back in Revelation 14, verse 8. Revelation 14, verse 8. John uses another description for Rome to keep out of the hands of the censors. Verse 8, another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That's not talking about the literal city of Babylon. It was destroyed thousands of years ago, never to be rebuilt or re-inhabited. So it's the city that continues the teachings of Babylon, the mystery, the whore of Babylon, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now on to chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Boy, that's what we just read in Revelation 14:8. Revelation 14:8, if you remember, was in a parenthesis that said it's going to happen. Here in Revelation 18, it's time for it to happen. It happens literally, physically, when Messiah returns in Revelation 19:11. But it tells us more about this Babylon. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Why is there two fallens? Because one is physical Babylon, the other is spiritual Babylon. In other words, God is going to break the power of the false religious system. And when Messiah returns and establishes his kingdom on earth, the scripture says, they will never practice idolatry again. Paganism will be at an end. So verse 2 says, his fallen has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every unclean, every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21. Verse 9. This fall was predicted 2,700 years ago by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 21:9. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. In other words, when Babylon is ultimately destroyed, there will be no more pagan idolatry. Have any of you heard that there are no idols in the world today?
There are no what?
Idols. That idolatry's already been ended? Nah, wish it were so. Go to Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. Verse 36. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you, That is vengeance on Babylon. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, meaning not inhabited. An astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' whelps. In their excitement, I will prepare their feasts. I'll make them drunk that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. I'll bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Shishak is taken. Shishak is a code word for Babylon. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Bel, that's the same as Baal, in Babylon. And I'll bring out of his mouth what he has swallowed, that is, return the nations. And the nations shall not stream to him anymore. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. Oh, verse 45's got a shift. Starting in verse 36, we learn that Babylon was destroyed long ago, never again to be inhabited. And yet people continue to participate in Babylon. That's because the mystery religion continued. So all the way back here in Jeremiah 51, the cry has gone out, come out of her, my people, that we're going to see again in Revelation. Meaning physical Babylon was destroyed, but the religious system has continued to infiltrate people, societies, and religions around the world with the old worship of the sun god. So verse 45, my people go out of the midst of her and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come 1 year, and after that in another year a rumor will come. And violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Which of the Ten Commandments did the Catholic Church remove? I don't mean ignore, actually removed.
The Sabbath.
No.
Graven images.
Graven images. Because the Catholic Church is full of icons. And these are idolatrous images that are going to be removed. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 18. Verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication here is referring to idolatry. That through this false religious system, idolatry has permeated through the nations of the world. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That is, she had sway and authority over the kings of the earth. Who remembers why King Henry VIII established the Church of England? He wanted to divorce his wife, and who wouldn't let him? The Pope. Why did the Pope have authority over the King of England? Because he has authority over all the kings of the earth. If you wanted to do something in France, if you watch any of those shows about medieval France, they're always writing to the Pope to get permission to do things. Can we start a war with this country? We got to go ask the Pope. Why? It says, an emergence of the earth had become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. What did we read in Jeremiah 51:45 just a minute ago? Come out of her. So in verse 4, God is giving a decree saying, my people have had sun god worship syncretized into the worship of the true and living God. And it's time to come out of it, quit it, put it behind, don't do it anymore. Heard another voice from Emma saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. That caught my eye a very long time ago. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. The judgment will fall upon the worship of the sun god. Go back to Genesis 6. And remember, feel free to ask any kinds of questions. This is really tough stuff we're talking about today. What should people have done? When back in the 4th century, the Pope said, you're forbidden from keeping the Sabbath. I order you to keep Sunday instead. Rebel. But if you read the letter from Constantine, he put the kicker down at the bottom. He said, if you don't do what I command, I will kill you.
Die.
That's what they should have done. They should have said, death is better than surrender. Genesis chapter 6. Fortunately, we weren't there, so we didn't have to make that decision. Genesis 6:13. And God said to Noah, who's Noah? He's the guy who built a big boat, right? The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. What's pitch?
Tar.
Why would you put tar on it?
To seal it
so it won't sink. Yep. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. How long is that?
Really long.
Really long. It's about a football field and a half, right? Its width 50 cubits. That's 75 feet, give or take. And its height 30 cubits, which is about 45 feet. That's a big boat. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. You shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten. You shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Why did I include this? Is it just because I like rainbows? I like big boats and fishes? What did God tell Noah? To come out of the world. To remove yourself from the world. Because the flood was going to come upon the world and all those things that breathe air are going to die. What if Noah said, no, I'm not getting on the boat. It's going to stink. There's going to be lots of noise. I ain't doing it. If he refused to come out of them, he would have received the judgment with them. Yep, verse 22 characterizes Noah. Noah did that which God commanded, all that God commanded him. So God said, if you will not come out of her, then you're going to suffer the judgment with her. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Wait a minute, that's about Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm suspicious now. What does it have to do with come out of her, my people? Genesis 19:12. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? These men are the angels. son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in this place, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking, meaning what? They don't want to come out. They enjoy the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. They don't want to come out of it. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Lest you what? Be consumed in the punishment of the city. Come out of her, my people, or you're going to suffer the judgment that falls upon her.
Except the angels say specifically, we can't do anything until you come out.
Because we haven't finished the reading yet, but you're right. It's
but
coming.
I mean, it seems kind of at odds with the, you know, come out or you're going to suffer the same judgment, but we know that that's maybe negated or something by the fact that the angels tell them that they couldn't do anything until he leaves.
Well, let's keep reading. But I know where you're going.
Hey, Wayne, I have a note here that says that we're being consumed in the punishment of the city. That word punishment is actually a home or sin.
Yep. I do too. Got the very same note.
Question?
Yes. Go ahead, Rachel.
Is this leading up to the point that we need to come out of the church?
We'll find out. Let's keep going.
Okay. Thank you.
Verse 16. We need to come out of the sins. And anyway. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please no, my lords. Indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight. You have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, the city is near enough to flee to, and it's only a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. He said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there. For I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. But. Lot, his wife, and his children, they journey away from Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does the wife do?
Looks back.
She turns back and looks back. Why?
She
doesn't want to leave. And what happens? She becomes a pillar of salt. So God said, come out of her, my people, or you're going to suffer the consequences. They were coming out, but she said, you know, I don't really want to go. And suffered the judgment with them.
I find it kind of strange that Lot is being told that he's going to be saved, but yet he's like, no, I don't want to go in the mountains because I might die.
Yeah.
Like, not too much faith there.
Yeah, not too much, but at least a little. How do we know he was a righteous man? Because the Bible says so. So we'll take God's word for it.
Didn't say he was perfect, said he was righteous.
Right. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Second Peter 3:9. Why does God call us to come out of her, my people, lest ye suffer in her judgments and punishments? Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord doesn't want people to suffer. He doesn't want them to undergo his wrath. He wants them to be delivered, to be saved. Now, to answer Rachel's question, what is all this leading to? Is that if you have been caught up in the sun god worship that is percolated down through the eons, come out of it. Put aside all that came out of the worship of the pagan gods.
That would then not, that also applies to the other, I guess you'd say, social ills of our day too. God tells us that if we condone what's going on, we're as guilty of it as they are.
Okay. So back to Revelation 18. In Romans chapter 1, it says, do not take pleasure in unrighteousness, meaning don't just stop sinning yourself, but don't take pleasure in the sins of others. That's in Romans 1. So Revelation 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered or taken notice of. It doesn't mean he ever forgot. It means he has taken notice of, and it's time to judge her iniquities. Go back to Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, we read, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So this was the beginning of the pagan idolatry, the building of a tower to reach to the heavens, because that's where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. And that's what Nimrod taught the people to worship, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay, turn to Exodus. Just briefly, I didn't intend to do this here, but I have a feeling I am going to anyway. Exodus chapter 31. If you remember when we studied through the scriptures back in the Torah, back in Deuteronomy, we saw that there are three major types of commandments that are so very important to God. The Sabbath, the feasts and the festivals, and not eating the unclean foods. And those are the things that the 4th century church said, we're going to do away with God's commandments and we're going to implement these. And let's see in Exodus chapter 31 what God said about the Sabbath and why it's so important to him. Verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, what's that word saying? It's a quote. Speak also to the children of Israel. Why didn't he say speak to Jacob? Why didn't he say, speak to Israel? What is the children of Israel?
It includes the former pagans.
It includes the former pagans. I would agree with that. God changed Jacob's name to Israel to show a change of heart, that he had become a follower of the true and living God. And the children of Israel is a term that refers to all those who have the same faith that Israel had, just as the Apostle Paul explains to us in Galatians chapter 3. But I digress. Saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep for. What does the word for mean? Because. Here's the reason. He doesn't just tell us to do it. He tells us why. For it is a sign. The Hebrew word is ot, O-T-H. It's like the wedding ring is the sign of my marriage to Rebecca over there. For it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations. What does throughout your generations mean?
Forever.
that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So what is the sign that we worship the true and living God? The Sabbath. So why did Catholicism think they had to take away the Sabbath? To break the chain. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among these people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on a Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant, meaning never to be broken. Is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. How can we be sure that God intended those who get saved out of the Gentile world to continue to keep the Sabbath? Where does it tell us that? That's Isaiah chapter 56. Will we keep in Sabbath in the kingdom anyway? We got to look at 56 first, then we'll go to 66 and prove your point. Isaiah 56, the short version, verses 1 and 2, then 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my Yeshua is about to come. Is that what it says? That's what it says. My Yeshua, my salvation is about to come. And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man, Ben Adam, everyone who descends from Adam, who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Verse 6, also the sons of the foreigner, that Hebrew word is nekar, it means one of the pagan nations, not of the nation of Israel, who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. What is my holy mountain? That's the Messianic kingdom. Mountains in prophecy are kingdoms. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So it makes it very clear. It's talking about the Gentiles getting saved, being grafted in, keeping the Sabbath, and holding fast to the covenant. The publishers of this Bible put a note by verse 8 to see John chapter 10, verse 16, about one flock, one shepherd, going one way. Now you said we'll be keeping the Sabbath forever. That's Isaiah 66, that it was never to be abolished. Isaiah 66, verses 22 to 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.